Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. I know, you know, as a Christian, the importance of giving to the work and the glory of the Lord. But did you know that planning your charitable giving responsibly can benefit your family, the causes you believe in, and your own financial future? Fulfilling your commitment to giving can be achieved in so many different ways. Cash, oh, that's always a good one. Property, gift annuities, trust, life insurance. How about that old car? Only a few of the many options available to you. The one best for you will be determined by evaluating your own unique situation. Every Christian radio station needs help. Greg Patton Ministries need help. Many of you are helping both of us, and we're so very, very grateful. We look forward to having Share-a-thon 2019 in just a few weeks down in WHCB in the Tri-City area. I trust that you are planning and praying and already know what you're going to be giving, my friend. Finding the best of Almighty God oftentimes is found in giving, believe it or not. We thank you in advance. Senate and House leaders on Tuesday say they will cancel the Martin Luther King Day recess unless there's a sudden resolution to the 25-day partial shutdown of the U.S. government, which appears unlikely given a breakdown in high-level talks, Senate Democratic leader Charles Schumer. One of the principal negotiators told reporters Tuesday he hasn't spoken to the president in nearly a week, underlining the standstill in negotiations. Meanwhile, staring down the next deadline to pay federal workers, the White House shifted tactics yesterday, trying to bypass House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to negotiate with rank-and-file lawmakers, even as President Donald Trump dug in for a prolonged shutdown. The House and Senate announced they would stay in session, canceling an upcoming recess. On the shutdown's 25th day, Trump did not move from his demand to have Congress provide $5.7 billion to build his promised border wall. Whoa, what was happening in Ocean City, Maryland? An earthquake was reported off the coast of Ocean City 6:30 last night, according to the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Hazards Program. Didn't even know there was such a thing. The earthquake hit 136 miles off the coast. No chance of any tsunami or anything like that. 50 people reported feeling a slight tremor. Well, a little mystery there. Indiana, Kentucky, Southern Illinois. It was back on December the 10th. The Evansville area was embroiled in an intrigue when mysterious radar blips appeared over southern Illinois and western Kentucky in long lines. Well, baffled the National Weather Service because they looked like storms, but it wasn't raining. And eventually they confirmed the anomalies arose when a C-130 traveling to West Virginia from a military exercise out west released over an area their huge plumes of military chaff. That's that radar jamming material, mostly composed of aluminum. And that sounds reasonable, but has nothing to explain the very same thing in Maine and Florida at the very same time with no C-30s around. So let me get this straight. They didn't know what it was, then they know what it is, and now they don't know what it is. It's very confusing. What lurks out there? Lots of noise being made with the new Gillette. Well, I used to see Gillette all the time when my dad watched boxing. That was eons ago. Gillette razors, and now how could they possibly be making news? What is the record for thumbs down on YouTube? I have no idea. But few videos have gotten a negative reaction as a Gillette video portraying white males as bullies in America. The last count, 323,000 thumbs down, and the count is literally growing by the second. Nearly 87,000 comments were posted under the video, nearly all of them negative, with many pledging to boycott Gillette products, period. Madison Avenue seems to embrace the social justice warrior mantle that they've adopted. So, yeah, nothing about shaving at all, just showing guys all kinds of situations where they appear to be bullies. What in the world is going on there? Some strange things happening in America today. Something about manly men are not good. Dr. Edward Adams, he's a psychologist and masculinity specialist, is talking now about so-called toxic masculinity in America, given that the American Psychological Association recently issued a new guideline declaring traditional masculinity is harmful to America. If we change men, we can change the world, said one of the psychologists who drafted this thing. Dr. Adams said it's a fallacy to say traditional masculinity is under attack. Traditional masculinity is under construction and improvement. And he stressed that the male roles of provider and protector are essential aspects of traditional masculinity. And he said men's suppression of emotion and their feeling compelled to go it alone in so many ways are aspects of traditional masculinity that could benefit from a little fine-tuning. I don't know, all of this stuff just confuses me. How about you? You get it? Well, back in my rock and roll days, I was crazy, but I thought Ted Nugent was insane. He just happens to be one of Donald Trump's biggest supporters from the world of rock and roll, and man, is he vocal and tough. Yeah, he's one of the greatest figures ever, they say, in rock and roll. Well, he's now decided to throw a benefit concert to raise money to build the wall. Nugent will use his massive influence in the world of music to put together a music festival that he says is going to rival Woodstock. The hope is that the three-day festival will attract conservatives rather than liberals, who will do more than dance around drinking and drugging, according to the event coordinator. Rather than having a self-proclaimed chemist selling doses of PCP, we'll have respectively dressed young men and women collecting donations from concerned Americans about the wall. We believe we can raise no less than $50 million, which is more than they need to start a wall somewhere. The law says once you start a federal project, you can't stop it. We'll make our lives safer from the small percentage of refugees who come here on foot. Ted Nugent. Okay, more news after this. I think we've all figured out this one before. Life is full of injustices. It's unfair. You can probably think of several instances in your own life where life is unfair. God's word contains its own record of those who suffered needlessly at the hands of others. David, his strife with Saul, as well as Joseph, and my goodness, his injustices delivered at the hands of his brothers. Just two examples. One way to remain free of bitterness and resentment is to focus on Jesus Christ and not the action committed against you. People are often thoughtless and careless in their words and their deeds, but God uses even the worst of things there to mold and shape us into the image of His dear Son, Jesus. How do you conquer bitterness in life? Begin by confession. Tell God how you're feeling and ask Him to help you forgive others. Then learn to claim His promises concerning your situation in life. God is great all the time, my friend. You know, according to C.H. Spurgeon, faith sees the bow of the covenant promise whenever the senses see the cloud of affliction. Remember our instruction, focus on Jesus, glance at the devil, you'll win. Well, lots of problems in America, and Christian, you're at the core.
What?
A Hollywood director who is known for his faith, what kind of faith, and for his films about spirituality, says Christians are the core problem in America. Scott Derrickson, who directed The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Deliver Us from Evil, as well as the more well-known Doctor Strange, made those comments this week. American Christians have long loved their pop culture heroes. I have frustrated attempts to make me one because of this singular, heartfelt conviction, Derrickson wrote. In America, we Christians are not the solution. We are the core problem. Well, that sparked a debate on Twitter over what Derrickson was talking about. One person wrote, I agree with your diagnosis and can appreciate the spirit of your resistance. Curious how you think that those of us who are Christians who want to fix problems can best help turn the tide, even if the best answer is to just get out of the way. Derrickson's response, reject Christian nationalism. It is straight-up heresy. Read the Gospels. Jesus was about aiding the poor, the judged, the sick, the socially oppressed. And we must reckon with fear and racism. They are deceptively deep roots in the American faith. Derrickson, who is Presbyterian, says he's attracted to Catholicism. He discusses it a lot. Last year he wrote, "I'm not a good Christian, which is also why I am a Christian. We need a whole lot of mercy." A lot of gobbledygook there, and that's one of the problems in America today. What is the clear path that we can follow? Are you really the problem? I mean, Christians, obviously, we have lots of problems, my friend, but I'm not buying this one. I have preached since day one. For the Christian, the big problem is balance. Stay in your line there, my friend. Oh, and he goes on to say here, Christians in America are not spreading the gospel. Now, they're spreading Trumpism. That should tell you something. So you're staying at a very luxurious hotel. This one just happens to be in Nairobi. Gunmen come in and kill at least 14 guests. Officials originally announced the end of the siege hours after it began, but gunfire and explosions were heard again early today. The Somali-based militant group Al-Shabaab said it was behind the attack. Crazy world. A Texas police department terminated 5 officers and suspended 2 others without pay on Tuesday after a suspect died while in custody. Internal investigators with the Fort Worth Police Department said the officers violated multiple policies last year when they arrested 55-year-old Christopher Lowe, who died in the officer's care after complaining of medical issues. Meanwhile, a man accused of punching and choking a woman inside of a laundromat in Queens, New York, expected to face a judge today. Dante Bennett, 21 years old, arrested Tuesday and charged with assault. Oh, this is a new one I've never heard of. Criminal obstruction of breathing. It's like choking, right? Unlawful imprisonment and robbery as well as trespassing. Police said he attacked the 50-year-old employee last week at the Family Laundry on Jamaica Avenue, punching her in the face, dragging her into a bathroom, choking her until she went unconscious. Stole her cell phone from the counter. What in the world? One lady said, "I feel so bad for her because she's very nice, a quiet lady. They don't bother nobody. They come. They're hardworking people." Not sure what sparked this attack. Sears is saved. What? Sears Holdings reached a roughly $5 billion deal with its chairman, Eddie Lampert, early today to keep the company at about 400 stores in operation, according to those familiar with the situation. The deal came after days of negotiations at a law firm. Lampert has been trying to buy Sears out of bankruptcy through an affiliate of his hedge fund. The owner of Kmart and Sears had filed for bankruptcy back in October, and Lampert's bid was the only one that would have kept things alive. And it was good. The offer had strong bargaining tools. It could save up to 50,000 jobs and create an infrastructure to support the continued operation of its businesses. Sears. Saved. An exciting message that God would want you to hear today. Stay tuned, my friend. Well, according to those in the weather world, another big storm coming our way. Don't know what it's going to be like in your neck of the woods, but yeah, there's a couple of big snowstorms coming. We canceled church last week, and here we are looking at it again this weekend. What in the world is going on? I am so glad that Almighty God is in charge, aren't you? I'm telling you, whether it's the weather or your life period that we're going to discuss here in a moment, God is in control. And ultimately, you have to come to that realization. And when you do, there's a real peace that passeth all understanding. Pray for you today, my friend, that you have come to this point in your life where you say, yep, no matter what, come the rain, come the clouds, come the sunshine, no matter what it is, God is in absolute control. It's a great way to live and a great way to die, serving the Lord. Are you like me when you understand that you're reading the Bible and sometimes portions of Scripture that you have read over and over again leap off the page and have more meaning than ever before? That's a God thing. Our life, which is a daily routine, we go through the same things, and oftentimes it's quite boring, life is. And then excitement enters in various areas. That's a God thing. You need to understand that God is with you. Who led you to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure you know the situation. But God alone gets all of the credit for your salvation. The only thing man can do is to praise God and glorify Him for all eternity. And that's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but God's unmerited grace to us. The wonder of God's grace is that His omniscience, He knew everything about us, and still He came to earth and He saved us. He offered Himself as a sacrifice for mankind's sin, knowing that every redeemed person would stray at times from Him and yield to sin. We do that a lot. And the pinnacle of Christianity is that a holy God cared so much for us that He sent His sinless Son to die a substitutionary death on an old rugged cross for you. Just think about that. He paid our sin debt in full and made it possible for us to experience an intimate relationship with Him. We ought to fall on our face today before Almighty God in humble adoration. I love You, Lord, and praise and glorify Him. I mean, we just need to do it. The key to understanding God's care for you is to understand the depth and the length of that redemption plan. God's rescue plan for mankind was set into operation before the very foundation of the world. God knew man would sin and fall in the garden. He knew that through His love and mercy extended at the cross, He would provide a way for us to receive eternal forgiveness. You know, God's not simply satisfied with saving us and delivering us from eternal separation and punishment in a place called hell. He's interested in building an intimate relationship with us today. He created us out of His good pleasure. He chose to create us simply because He wanted to love us, and He wanted us to love Him in return. Through our love for Him, He's glorified. Jesus wants to build a warm, intimate, personal relationship with you and me. He wants to do it every day. He's not a distant force up there in heaven. He's a close, loving, personal God who cares deeply about you and everything in your life. His acceptance of you is not based on your conduct, your performance, your goodness. Oh, no. He unconditionally accepts you when you receive His mercy through faith in Jesus Christ. In Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." God's great purpose for us is that we would bear the image and likeness of His Son. God not only wants to build a relationship with us, He wants us to be more like Him spiritually and morally, according to Ephesians 5:1. No matter how rich, prominent, or powerful you are, until you allow God to complete His purpose for your life, everything you do will be empty and vain. God has created you to bear His image, my friend. There's a God-shaped vacuum inside of you that can only be satisfied by God. That means only when you are completely yielded to Him are you allowing Him to fill you with His character and His purpose and His plan. In order for God to make us like His Son, He has to deal with everything in our lives that doesn't reflect Jesus. Every attitude of the heart, the mind, every action, desire, plan, goal, those dreams, doesn't make sense until it's sifted through God's loving hands. God molds us into the image of His dear Son by allowing the Holy Spirit within to express the life of Christ moment by moment in your life. When we walk in the Spirit of God, we walk in humble submission to His authority. Then we begin to exhibit the life of Jesus Christ in all we say, think, and do. Isn't this exciting? All of us, admit it, go through difficulties, great hardships in life. Times when you'll find yourself in despair and wondering if God really understands your hurts. There is someone who loves you in your hurt, in your suffering, in your despair, in your sense of hopelessness, who is more than adequate to meet your needs, whatever they may be. God is our comforter, the one who cares enough for us to ease our pain and to reassure us we're going to make it through the turmoil with Him right beside us. Jesus said there in Matthew 11:28-29-30, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for My yoke is easy and My load is light." God is interested in comforting you in your heartaches and your difficulties. The true God of the Bible is a God who cares enough about you to love you no matter where you are in life or what you're feeling. You cannot erase his love for you. He is a God who cares for you personally. You're the apple of his eye. And I like this. I've heard this so many times since I've been saved from John 14. The first three verses, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven, my friend, is a very real place. God has established your citizenship in heaven now. Many times we focus on our present troubles and overlook the promise of the future. This is just a minuscule thing in your life, whatever it is. In heaven, we will experience perfect peace and intimacy with the Savior. We will also have perfect harmony with one another. There will be no night, because Jesus will be our eternal light. We will be caught up with a deep desire to serve and worship him. We will be absolutely pure and perfect. Imagine that. Matthew 13:43 says, then the righteousness will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We'll be given the capacity to serve and to reign in heaven according to our faithfulness on earth. Our very presence will bring glory to God. Our very presence will shout for eternity before the angels that God is a God of grace and love and, yes, mercy. You know, there are many religions out there in this old world, but there's only one true God and only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. You must be willing to confess your sins and accept Jesus as your Savior in order to enjoy this heaven. The moment you do, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. God cares so much that he's chosen to reveal himself to us and rescue us from eternal death. He is a God who loves us deeply and desires a personal, loving relationship. He rushes to meet us in our hurt and loneliness. He's the omniscient God of the universe, yet he cares for us and comforts us in all our hurts. The God who cares is the God who knows your every step, your every dream, your every desire. He is the God who gives you hope and longs to share more of himself with you today. My friend, you are important to God. He cares for you in so many wonderful ways. And once you know that God cares for you, you never need to be in real despair. And what's happening in Illinois? 8 nurses at an Illinois hospital who got pregnant around the same time are now showing the world their new arrivals. The women, obstetrician nurses at Anderson Hospital's Pavilion for Women in Maryville, were featured on the hospital's Facebook page, made world news yesterday, holding newborns. The Pavilion for Women had their own baby boom going, and boy, it exploded. The hospital post reads, we are loving all of our babies. Welcome to the world, you little ones. We love you. The nurses all due within months of each other. Babies galore in Maryville, Illinois. And I guess she's calling him the Subway Savior. A grateful Manhattan woman has given her personal thanks to a hero who found her purse on a subway platform and returned it with $10,000 tucked inside. Ayeya Talamatova was on the northbound platform there in December the 20th, I guess it was, where she left her blue Chanel bag on a bench. She stepped onto an uptown train and didn't realize her mistake until she got to the next stop. Frantically going back, the purse and a happy holiday inside were long gone. She filed a report, and all turned out good. Not long after the doors of her uptown train closed, an honest passenger found the purse, looked inside, found the identification, and the rest is history. 100 crisp $100 bills return. Yeah, they're good folks out there. And that's the way it is. Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. I'm Greg Patton for Hello World. God bless. Enjoy your day.